Welcome to another deep dive, and today we're taking a plunge into Canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Excellent.
We'll be exploring some fascinating excerpts from an essay that analyzes this canto, which, as you know, is like the heart of Vedic literature. It delves into profound questions about creation, the forces at play in the universe, and how we can connect with something bigger than ourselves.
It's truly remarkable, you know, how Canto 3 blends these grand cosmic themes with these deeply personal stories of spiritual seekers.
Yeah.
And it makes these ancient teachings just feel so incredibly relevant even today.
Right from the start, Canto 3 introduces us to Vidura, who is on a quest for truth. He's disillusioned with what he sees happening in the Kaurava court.
Right.
And is yearning for something deeper.
Yeah.
His path leads him to Uddhava, a devoted disciple of Lord Krishna.
Yeah.
What stands out to you about this encounter?
Well, I think what's so fascinating is that this meeting isn't just a chance encounter, you know. It exemplifies the concept of satsang, the transformative power of being in the presence of someone who is, well, spiritually awakened. It's like their presence transmits a certain energy, a wisdom that goes beyond words.
So by simply being around someone like Uddhava, Vidura is already on the path of spiritual growth.
Exactly.
Wow.
Canto 3 really emphasizes how crucial it is to, you know, to seek guidance from those who are spiritually attuned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about it in your own life. Who are the people you turn to for wisdom? Whose presence leaves you feeling, you know, uplifted and inspired?
That's a great question to consider.
Yeah.
I'm already starting to see how these ancient teachings can apply to our modern lives.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious about how Canto 3 tackles this vast subject of creation.
Well, Canto 3 paints a vivid picture of creation as a divine act orchestrated by Lord Vishnu.
Okay.
Imagine this. Lord Vishnu reclining on Anantashesha, this massive serpent, and from his very being, the material universe unfolds.
I've heard about this imagery, but I've never really understood it.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty abstract.
It is symbolic, but incredibly profound.
Yeah.
From Vishnu's navel, a lotus blossoms, and on top of this lotus sits Brahma, the creator deity.
Wow.
What do you think this tells us about the relationship between the spiritual and material realms?
It's like Brahma, who shapes the universe,
yeah,
is drawing his power directly from Vishnu.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful way of showing that everything in the material world ultimately originates from the divine.
Precisely.
Wow.
But how do we humans fit into this cosmic dance?
Yeah, where do we fit in?
That's where the concept of gunas comes in.
Yeah.
Think of them as the fundamental forces that shape everything in creation, including us.
Okay, I've heard about the gunas, but
yeah.
Could you break it down in a way that makes sense to someone who might be encountering this concept for the first time?
Of course, of course.
Okay.
There are three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas.
Okay.
Sattva is associated with purity, wisdom, and a sense of peace.
Okay.
Rajas about action, passion, and a bit of restlessness. And then there's tamas, which represents inertia, ignorance, and darkness.
Mm.
We all have a mix of these gunas within us.
So it's not like one guna is good and another is bad.
Yeah, right.
It's more about understanding how they influence us.
Exactly. And that's where the real learning begins.
Yeah.
Canto 3 suggests that by understanding these forces, we can make more conscious choices in our lives, ultimately moving towards greater balance and harmony.
Right. Yeah.
What resonates with you about this idea?
It makes me wonder how often I'm driven by certain gunas without even realizing it.
Mm.
Like maybe that feeling of restlessness is actually Rasha's pushing me to take action.
Yeah.
Or that sense of peace I get from meditating is a reflection of sattva.
That's a great insight.
Yeah.
It highlights how these ancient concepts can offer practical tools for self-awareness and personal growth.
Mm.
But Canto 3 doesn't stop there.
Oh.
It introduces us to Lord Kapila, an incarnation of Vishnu himself,
okay,
who appears before his mother, Devahuti, and imparts the wisdom of Sankhya philosophy.
Okay, Sankhya philosophy. I know this is a big deal.
Yes.
But to be honest, it's always seemed a bit intimidating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Can you unpack it in a way that feels accessible?
Sankhya is all about understanding the duality of existence.
Okay.
It proposes that there's Prakriti, which is the material world, and Purusha, which is pure consciousness or spirit.
Okay.
They're distinct but interconnected.
Okay.
The goal is to recognize this separation, to see that we are not just our material bodies or minds,
right,
but something much greater.
So it's about recognizing our true spiritual nature.
Yes.
Okay.
But how does this actually work? It seems like a pretty big leap to go from feeling trapped in the material world to experiencing the state of liberation.
Yeah.
That's where Kapila's teachings get really interesting.
Okay.
He explains that while understanding this duality intellectually is important, it's devotion bhakti that truly allows us to transcend the limitations of the material world and connect with our true selves.
Ah, there's that word again, bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like such a central theme throughout Canto 3.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
And we'll delve deeper into the nuances of bhakti in the next part of our deep dive. But for now, what I find truly captivating about Devahuti's story is her transformation.
Yeah. From what I remember, she starts off in a state of deep despair.
Right.
And then goes through this profound shift.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When she first encounters Kapila, she's overwhelmed by grief.
Mm-hmm.
But as he reveals his divine nature and shares the wisdom of Sankhya, she completely surrenders to his teachings.
Wow.
This surrender, this opening of her heart, allows her to experience a profound spiritual awakening.
Hmm.
It's a powerful example of how bhakti can liberate us from suffering and lead to true liberation.
It's amazing how Canto 3 uses these personal stories to make these complex philosophical ideas so relatable.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
These stories aren't just ancient myths. They're like roadmaps for our own spiritual journeys.
Yeah.
Showing us the possibilities of transformation and the power of bhakti.
It makes me want to explore Canto 3 even further and see what other treasures it holds.
I'm glad to hear that. And in the next part of our deep dive,
we'll
explore the nuances of bhakti in more detail and discover how these ancient teachings can be applied to our lives today.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned.
We've been talking about some pretty profound concepts. Creation, the gunas, Sankhya philosophy.
Right.
But it seems like Canto 3 keeps circling back to this idea of bhakti, devotion, as the key to unlocking something deeper.
It's fascinating how bhakti is woven throughout Canto 3. It's not just presented as a concept, you know.
Mm.
It's shown through these vivid stories and the transformations of the characters.
Right, like with Vidura and Devahuti.
Exactly.
But why do you think the Bhagavatam places such a high value on bhakti?
Hmm.
What makes it so special compared to, say, just gaining knowledge or performing actions?
Well, knowledge and action are important, no doubt.
Right.
But think about what happens when they're devoid of heart, of genuine connection. They can become dry, mechanical, even ego-driven.
Right.
Bhakti infuses everything with a sense of love, surrender, and deep connection to something greater than ourselves.
It's like the difference between going through the motions and truly feeling connected to what you're doing.
Exactly. And this is what Canto 3 illustrates so beautifully.
Yeah.
Take Vidura, for example.
Okay.
What do you think was the driving force behind his journey?
Well, he was clearly disillusioned with the corruption he saw in the Kalava court.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like more than just a desire for change.
Right.
There was this deep yearning for truth, for something to connect with on a deeper level.
That yearning, that thirst for connection with the divine is the essence of bhakti.
Mm.
It's what propelled him to seek out Uddhava and opened him up to receiving the wisdom that Uddhava offered.
And it's that same openness, that surrender that we see in Devahuti's transformation as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Remember, she was initially consumed by grief and despair.
Right.
But when Kapila, her son, and an incarnation of Vishnu, reveals his true nature and imparts the teachings of Sankhya, she completely surrenders to his wisdom.
Wow.
Her heart opens and she experiences a profound shift within herself.
So it's not just about intellectually grasping these concepts, but about allowing ourselves to be transformed by them, to connect with them on an emotional and spiritual level.
Precisely. But bhakti isn't always about these grand, dramatic transformations.
Right.
Canto 3 also emphasizes the importance of cultivating those subtler qualities that make up true devotion. Humility, surrender, and love.
It makes you wonder, how do these qualities actually manifest in our lives?
Right.
How can we nurture them in a practical way?
That's a great question. And it brings us to the heart of how Canto 3 bridges the gap between these ancient teachings and our modern lives.
Mm-hmm.
It offers guidance on how to actually live a more spiritually aligned life, one that embodies these qualities of bhakti.
Okay, so let's get practical.
Okay.
What are some specific things we can do to bring these teachings to life?
First and foremost, remember the importance of satsang, of surrounding yourself with positive influences.
Mm-hmm.
Seek out those individuals, be it teachers, mentors, or friends, who inspire you to grow spiritually and engage in meaningful conversations.
It's about finding your tribe, the people who uplift you and challenge you to become the best version of yourself.
Exactly. And then there's the practice of self-reflection.
Okay.
Take some time each day to contemplate the nature of creation, the divine purpose that flows through everything.
Mm.
This can cultivate a deep sense of gratitude and help you align your actions with a higher purpose.
It's like taking a pause amidst the busyness of life to remember that we're part of something much greater than ourselves.
Precisely. And of course, nurturing your connection with the divine is essential, whether through prayer, meditation, chanting, or simply spending time in nature.
Yeah.
Find practices that nourish your soul and connect you with that inner source of peace and wisdom.
It's about creating space for stillness.
Right.
And allowing ourselves to tap into that deeper dimension of our being.
Exactly. Oh. Now, remember those gunas we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
Becoming aware of their influence in your life is another practical step towards embodying the principles of Canto 3.
So how can we actually work with the gunas in our daily lives?
It starts with awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Notice how the different gunas manifest in your thoughts, emotions, and actions.
Okay.
Cultivate sattvic qualities like kindness, patience, and wisdom. When you feel those rajasic or tamasic tendencies arise, the restlessness, the inertia, gently guide yourself back towards balance and harmony.
It's like we're learning to become the conductor of our own inner orchestra.
Right.
Harmonizing the different energies within us.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
And finally, don't underestimate the power of simply being present in each moment.
Right.
Practice mindfulness in your daily activities. Savor the beauty around you. Appreciate the small joys.
It's about cultivating that sense of awe and wonder.
Yes.
That connects us to the present moment.
Yes.
And allows us to experience life more fully.
Exactly. And remember, it's a journey, not a destination.
Right.
Be patient with yourself and celebrate even the smallest steps you take towards spiritual growth.
This has been incredibly insightful, but I have to ask.
Yeah.
We've been focusing on the individual journey.
Yeah.
How does Canto 3 address the challenges we face as a collective, especially in today's world?
That's a crucial question, and it's where the wisdom of Canto 3 becomes even more relevant.
Right.
The teachings embedded within this canto offer a framework not just for personal transformation, but also for creating a more harmonious and just society.
So it's about taking those inner transformations and letting them ripple outwards.
Exactly.
Impacting the world around us.
Precisely. For instance, the emphasis on seeking guidance from the wise encourages us to look beyond our limited perspectives and learn from those who possess greater wisdom and compassion. This can translate to seeking out leaders who embody these qualities and advocating for systems that prioritize the well-being of all beings.
It's about recognizing that true leadership is rooted in service and a deep understanding of interconnectedness.
Exactly. And then there's the principle of detachment, which can be applied to our relationship with material resources and consumption.
Right.
Canto 3 reminds us that true happiness doesn't lie in accumulating possessions, but in cultivating inner contentment and recognizing the abundance that already exists.
So it's about shifting our focus from material acquisition to spiritual fulfillment.
Exactly.
And recognizing that our well-being is intertwined with the well-being of the planet and all its inhabitants.
Precisely. And the concept of bhakti, of devotion, can inspire us to act with love and compassion, not just towards ourselves, but towards all beings.
It's about recognizing the inherent divinity within each person and extending that same reverence to the natural world. It's about cultivating a sense of unity.
Yes.
And recognizing that we're all interconnected threads in the tapestry of life.
Exactly. And by embodying these principles in our thoughts, words, and actions, we contribute to creating a world that reflects those values, a world that prioritizes compassion, justice, and the well-being of all.
Wow. This is really resonating with me.
Yeah.
It's like Canto 3 offers a blueprint for not only personal transformation, but also for creating a more just and sustainable world.
It's a powerful reminder that our inner work has the potential to create ripples of positive change that extend far beyond ourselves.
Wow.
And as we continue to explore Canto 3,
we'll
uncover even more insights into how these ancient teachings can guide us toward a brighter future.
It's incredible how these ancient texts like the Bhagavatam still holds so much wisdom resonates with us today.
Yeah.
It's like they tapped into some universal truths that transcend time and culture.
That's the beauty of these timeless teachings, you know? They speak to something deep within us, something that connects across generations.
Mm.
And Canto 3 in particular offers such a rich tapestry of insights into creation, devotion,
right,
and the interconnectedness of everything.
Yeah.
As we wrap up our deep dive, what stands out to you as the most impactful message of this canto?
It's hard to pick just one, but I keep coming back to the idea that true fulfillment comes from recognizing our inherent connection to the divine and nurturing that relationship through bhakti.
Yeah.
We've talked about seeking guidance from the wise, understanding the gunas and the principles of Sankhya philosophy, but it seems like bhakti is the thread that ties it all together.
You're right. Bhakti is the heart of Canto 3.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that we're not separate, isolated individuals, but rather integral parts of a vast, interconnected web of existence.
Wow.
Everything emanating from that same divine source.
It's a beautiful way to look at it.
Yeah.
We're all sparks of the divine flame, each playing a unique role in this and the grand cosmic dance.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we actually cultivate that awareness, that sense of interconnectedness and devotion, in a way that truly transforms our lives?
Canto 3 offers some profound insights into that process.
Yeah.
It suggests that bhakti isn't just about intellectual understanding or performing rituals.
Mm-hmm.
It's about cultivating a heart-centered connection that permeates every aspect of our lives.
So it's not about achieving some distant goal, but about embodying that devotion in our thoughts, words, and actions every single day.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's a continuous process of remembering our connection to the divine and allowing that awareness to guide us as we journey through life, you know, facing challenges and celebrating triumphs.
Right.
Bhakti becomes the compass that keeps us oriented towards our true north.
Throughout our deep dive, we've discussed so many inspiring examples of bhakti in action.
Mm-hmm.
Vidura's yearning for truth.
Right.
Devahuti's surrender to Kapila's wisdom. Is there a particular story or teaching that you find yourself personally drawn to?
You know, Devahuti's transformation is truly captivating.
Yeah.
Her journey from despair and disillusionment to spiritual liberation through Kapila's teachings.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks volumes about the transformative power of bhakti.
Yeah.
It reminds us that no matter where we are in our spiritual path,
right,
no matter how lost or broken we may feel,
mm-hmm,
the potential for profound awakening and growth always exists within us.
It's a story of hope, resilience,
mm-hmm,
and the boundless grace available to all who sincerely seek it.
Absolutely. And it highlights that the path of devotion isn't about reaching some distant destination, but rather about embracing the journey itself with all its twists and turns, knowing that every step we take, every experience we encounter, is an opportunity for growth and transformation.
As we conclude our deep dive into Canto 3, is there one question you'd like to leave our listener with? Something to ponder as they continue their own exploration of these timeless teachings?
How might understanding the interplay of the gunas, those fundamental forces of sattva, rajas, and tamas, help you make more conscious choices in your daily life?
Mm.
Choices that lead to greater balance, harmony, and spiritual growth.
It's a powerful invitation to turn inward.
Yeah.
To become more aware of these subtle energies that play within us, and to make choices that align with our highest aspirations.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for guiding us through this fascinating deep dive into Canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
It's been my pleasure.
It's a reminder that ancient wisdom holds profound relevance for our modern lives, offering guidance, inspiration, and a path towards greater peace, purpose, and connection with the divine.
It really is.
And to our listener, we encourage you to delve deeper into this incredible text.
Yes.
And discover the treasures it holds for you.
Absolutely.
Until next time, keep seeking, keep exploring,
yeah,
and keep diving deep into the boundless ocean of knowledge and wisdom.